and going up to him, bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and setting him upon his own beast, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Today's Gospel presents us a Samaritan and a certain Jewish man. This wonderful parable of our Lord presents us the great story of charity towards one's neighbor. But it also tells another story, a kind of a prelude to the parable itself, and it ends not only to the great exhortation to loving one's neighbor, but also to the making of a most demanding sacrifice. The certain man of today's gospel was a Jew, and any Jew was hateful to the Samaritans. Had this certain man met this Samaritan before he was robbed, he would have had every reason to consider him his enemy. So great was the contempt of the Jews to these Nordic cousins of theirs that the Samaritan woman at the well in the Gospel of St. John thought it for granted that our Lord would have sooner died to thirst than to ask water from her. For the Jews and the Samaritans were mortal enemies, their animosity being a religious as well a racial one. In the beginning of our Gospel texts, we learn how Jesus also had mortal enemies who were constantly plotting against him. And so, even today, it is a priest's lot to practice his apostolate, not only among the faithful, but also among the modern-day certain men as well. If any of the sheep from the pastor's flock should stray out of the straight path and deserting the good pastor and rush into unproductive places, the pastor should collect them and bring back to the fold. In our parable, the priest takes the place of the Samaritan, and in the natural order, the robbed man from a separate nation would have been an enemy. But the spiritual order, which our Lord wanted to distinguish from the natural order, does not admit enemies. St. John Chrysostom, who is one of the most eloquent speakers concerning the dignity of the priesthood, has written that there should be no limit to the priest's efforts to bring back separated brethren to the unity of the Church. This term, separated brethren, of course, is one which has been abused, mauled, and disgraced by the modernists. But, after all, that's what these estranged sheep are, separated brethren. They are human beings, wandered away from the right faith, to which one must be ready to offer great sacrifice, perseverance, and patience, as well as tears, and most of all, prayers. Every one of you who has a spouse, a son or a daughter, a father or a mother, or a brother or a sister outside the faith knows what I mean. You love the fallen away member of your family so much that it almost burns your heart out. But you can comfort yourself knowing that you're never alone in this grief of yours. This is because a priest loves them all. After all, isn't this universal charity the reason why we call priest a father? the Holy Scripture uses the word father to mean a teacher of spiritual things. A teacher is a father, and a disciple is a son. But a priest, whom we address as father, is also a witness and representative of the faith of his church before the world, and the faithful are ever ready to receive a teaching from him as son from a father. Certainly, anyone who has heard of Jesus has heard of the truth. But in order to show that one is a true son, something else is needed. Even the lawyer of today's gospel, who tried only to tempt our Lord, called him master or teacher, a title to which he himself should have heeded to. The Samaritan of the parable showed the great spirit of self-sacrifice by promising to the host to cover all the expenses to take care of this man, who, from the point of nature, was his enemy. But even more heroic than to renounce some of his earthly possessions was his renouncing of his nature, of which he could expect no thanks. True renunciation of yourself means to give up your prideful nature, and this kind of sacrifice seems many times to be extremely hard to find on earth. Some would object that Christ and the priest is called a teacher or father because he teaches wisdom by good example. Because their job is to save souls, they should be mainly experts in what is right, fair, and just in the eyes of God. Everything else is unessential because the priest, they say, does not need learning in order to lead his followers on the road to salvation. If that is so, why does Saint Paul write to Timothy, "Wherein I am appointed a preacher and an apostle and teacher of the Gentiles"? When one is a teacher, as priest, that is, father is, he has the right to use not simply a word of advice, but also from time to time punitive justice. But unlike the animosity between the Jews and Samaritans, this degree of authority is not based on hatred. Again, there are no enemies in the spiritual order, but they are intended as a remedy, a medicine, as oil and wine were in today's gospel. Everyone who has ever had a father knows that when he is loving, kind, smiling, and all encouraging, we hope that his power would be endless. It is another thing when he uses his authority to administer to you this medicine, which might be very bitter from time to time, but it is also most necessary. And to be a true son, either of your own father or of the Catholic Church, any son has to be willing to make this sacrifice. You show the spirit of this sacrifice every time when you receive Holy Communion or sacrament of penance from the priest, and also every time when you address your priest as father. Certainly, I encourage you to be like the Good Samaritan and to be willing to sacrifice even your earthly goods for the love of your neighbor. But most of all, I encourage you to be like this poor, robbed man of the gospel. Let yourself to be healed by a priest, whom you address with the most loving title, Father. From this sacrifice is derived a virtue which not only frightens the enemies of the church, but will fill even our own faithful with amazement. God bless you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.